I am just going to start the show again. Here we go. And welcome to the show, take two on United Kingdom Radio. This is Tom Harris from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. And we started the show once, but I realized that I wasn't recording it. That's not good. So anyway, here we go again. Now, see, I was just talking about, I was talking about using Simplecast for the first time. It's a new program that we're using here because people were having trouble with Ustream. Most notably me. I was having a lot of trouble with noise coming in on Ustream. Now, the one thing that we did notice about the Simplecast was that there's quite a long delay for me. And Bob, I don't know, is saying, some stupid woman said welcome over the top of you. Well, no. Everyone is on delay, and I'm not sure how much the delay is. You know, I sat down with our good friend Mike Cullen, who does a show here on United Kingdom Radio, and we were working out all of the sound settings and trying to determine, you know, how much of a delay. And at that point, it was a really long delay. I want to say good morning to Zach, who I believe was also listening to Chris. And hello, Zach. And Zach seems to be from Australia, if I'm correct. And I think this is the first time anybody from Australia has listened to my show, to be honest. Bob, I don't know, is reminding me to give a time check. Yeah, I suppose I should do that. Because Chris was saying how, you know, we should always do a sound check in our show. Chris Reardon has decreed, which is one of my features on the show. But if you're listening at 4:05 p.m. in the UK on a Saturday, September the 11th, then you are listening live. If you're listening at any other time, then you are listening to a pre-recorded show. Now, I'm listening at a different time, to be quite honest, because here it's 10:06 a.m. here in Chicago, Illinois. But, you know, I have to kind of, you know, make sure that the people in the UK know what time I'm on. And we'll see if how much of a delay. I think we had something like a 10 or 20 second delay. And Zach is saying, take one was recording on my... Oh, Zach. I appreciate that. And of course, after the shows are offline, of course, all the shows are podcast. And the shows, of course, are podcast and... they are posted on both the United Kingdom Radio site and also on my personal site, which is TomHarrisUSA.com. Bit of confusion a little bit earlier because Robert was alluding to the fact that I have put my podcast on suspension. And that is true, folks. I did. I'm still doing the live show here on United Kingdom Radio, but the weekly podcast that I was posting every Wednesday has gone on hiatus for now. And it'll be back eventually, I'm sure. But for the moment, it's not coming out. Okay. And Chris is saying... Chris is telling me that I sound good, and I didn't realize I was using Simplecast today. Well, thank you, Chris. It does. It feels good, too, and I'm hoping that we won't have any more trouble at all. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, Chris is saying that the woman who was saying hello is something that it's an automated thing. Bob, I don't know, is saying I have about a two-minute delay. Well, I hope that doesn't... mean that you won't call in, because we can call in and chat on the show about anything you want to. I'm going to continue on a little bit of the conversation that we had last week, because I don't think I really brought up all the points that I was going to bring up. And I have an email. Oh, wait, I have to shake the email in front of the microphone so you can hear it. That's our email that we have. We got an email over on Facebook from Lon, down in Florida. And Lon had this to say. Now, if you folks remember, on the last program, I was talking a little bit about intellectual laziness. I was talking about, you know, have we become lazy as a society? And not just in the realm of moving around and, you know, getting obese and that sort of thing, which we know is, of course, a problem in a lot of Western countries, but also intellectually lazy and sort of living life by soundbite and, you know, taking this sort of mimetic sort of view of life. So if you can't sum up your philosophy in about 10 words, then it's just too complicated and you just don't want to know. And unfortunately, reality is always more complicated than that. And, you know, it can be very tempting to have somebody else do your thinking for you and sort of regurgitate things for you. But that leads to people being manipulated. And, you know, the politicians will manipulate you. The big corporations will manipulate you via advertising. Because really it is, it's marketing and advertising. That's what a lot of it is. They're trying to indoctrinate you into thinking a certain way by only giving you the facts that they want you to have. And I think it's very important for people to actually go off, do their own research, do their own looking into various issues. Read as much as they can, hear as much as they can, and develop your own opinions based on your own research, and not to let other people interpret reality for you, because that's leading down a very dangerous path. Now, I have a comment here. This is coming from Lon in Florida. Hello, Lon. It's the first time Lon has actually written to the program, but I've known Lon for many, many years. He's a friend of mine from the Toasty Fry Co-op down in Fort Myers, Florida, longtime friend of mine. Anyway, Lon wanted to comment, so here he wrote, "Just wanted to comment on the intellectual laziness thread in this episode. In my humble opinion, most people actively avoid anything that throws their own thoughts and feelings into doubt. Most of the time, this is because human beings do not want to have to deal with the flood of cognitive dissonance they live their daily lives with. This avoidance isn't due to laziness, it's due to fear." Very good point there. "And when you question people like this on some idea they put forth, they will begin to get emotional. And when I say emotional, I mean physically emotional, distressed. And if you push further, they will get violent. And that usually starts with uncharacteristic outbursts. I have friends I know I can get from calm to violent in just a couple minutes of questioning their beliefs. No ad hominem, just logical debate. It's a mental state floating on a sea of emotionalism and frequently bound to tendencies of logical fallacy." Yes, I totally agree there. "We're becoming a nation of intellectual bankruptcy because of it. See Mike Judge's movie Idiocracy to see where this goes." So thanks very much, Lon, for that. That's a different take on it. But I think it's still a valid take on it. And I totally agree with you. And, you know, people don't like to have their beliefs questioned. And that's one thing that I definitely have found in doing the podcast that I recently put on hiatus, when I was talking quite a lot about things like religion and psychics and things like that, and it's kind of showing the logical fallacies behind them and showing, you know, that if you really look at what they are telling you, that, you know, it doesn't make any sense, you know. And of course, I had a great deal of, you know, I wouldn't say people attacking me. I did have one in particular who sent some very, very nasty emails through somebody else. And I'm sure that was in response to one of the shows that I did on mediums. But it's true. Yeah, there's this over-emotionalism because, you know, the people who are not coming to their opinions by introspection and thinking about things and learning about things and researching things, you know, they're just kind of going along with what's being told to them, and they're going to gravitate towards news sources, etc., that agree with their own worldview. And we're talking about, you know, like MSNBC, which is one of the more liberal TV networks here, or Fox News, which is sort of the most conservative of those TV networks here. And, you know, and they don't like to be questioned. They just have their own thoughts on the way this goes. I'm being told that there's about a 2-minute delay, which is interesting. Zach is saying there's a 2-minute delay on my end and probably another 2-minute delay for you to get this message. I don't think so. I don't think it's quite 2 minutes there. Have you seen the movie Wag the Dog? It's got the idea of spreading interpretations and stuff that the public in the film think it's true. I haven't seen that. I know what it's about. I know that they had, it was sort of a Bill Clinton-esque character, and it was a movie about what I believe it was they drum up some sort of international crisis to detract attention away from something bad that the lead character was doing. I think that was what that was about. Chris Reardon wants to know the exact time. The exact time, Chris, is 10:14 a.m. here in Chicago, and that's using the shortwave, synchronize your watches. When you synchronize your watches, we were sent out, when we first started out here on United Kingdom Radio, Chris sent us out this thing that kind of sets your computer clock to coordinated universal time. Fantastic little Java applet. And so I've been doing that periodically, and I know that my clock and my computer is right on the money, 10:15 a.m. Or 4:15 p.m. if you're over in the UK. And we'll find out from Chris whether or not... how long the delay is. When I was talking with Mike Cullen, it was kind of getting things set up here to use this new client. We had about a 20-second delay. So anyway, if anybody would like to call in and talk about these topics, that they are more than welcome to do so. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play. This is the third week in a row for these musical clips. And I'll be honest, folks, nobody is playing this game. So I think that this is going to be the last week for the Name the Riff game. So if anybody... we have about 4:16 here now. Chris and I don't have much of a delay. We're within a minute, so that's pretty good. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play the three musical clips. I have two very easy ones and one more difficult one. And if anybody can identify the artist and the name of the song, then they will win a prize. And this is the last time I'm giving away a prize, folks. So, you know, be on the ball here and win the prize. So here are the three musical clips. There's our three musical clips for this week. As the third week that we've had them on, I usually play them till somebody gets them, or 3 weeks, whichever comes first. And if nobody plays this game this week, then I will go ahead and give the answers at the end of the program. All right, we have a couple messages coming in here on Skype. Zach is saying internet time. No, the coordinated universal time, which would be the atomic clock in Boulder, Colorado. And that's sort of the most accurate time ever. You know, it's all very, very, very precise. And I think there's one of these atomic clocks in Greenwich as well. I believe so, because isn't Greenwich, I think Greenwich is sort of the, oh, did you all hear that? Somebody was blowing their car horn outside my window. That's not good. Zach is saying, hint, hint, people, play the music game. Yeah. I don't really mind if people don't want to, you know, a particular feature or whatever. It just takes me a while to figure out that people aren't interested. And if they're not interested, I'll just move on. Bob Idino says, that I would play if I knew anything about music. Yeah, well, that's understandable too. But certainly, Bob, you can feel free to weigh in on any of the other games or topics that we do on the show, and I'd love to hear from you. I miss hearing from Lil. She hasn't called me for a while. Lil, I think you should call me this week. And what's interesting now, I'm going to go back to this conversation a little bit that we were just having, because I was kind of getting into last week's topic a little bit, and I want to kind of take this another little step forward. Because last week, excuse me, sorry about that. Last week on Stacey White's show, one of the topics that he started to talk about was common courtesy and the lack thereof. And one of the things that about this whole idea of intellectual laziness and being leading a very passive life, letting other people kind of guide you through life, is that it's the enemy of common courtesy. And you can go back and you can see all kinds of examples of this. But one of my things I was thinking about, because, you know, one of the things that you've probably noticed if you're here in the States or if you've been paying attention to American news, is that the level of political discourse in this country has gone way down. You're not hearing intellectual arguments. You're not hearing arguments about the merits of various policies. You're hearing basically a lot of name-calling back and forth. Oh, this person is a socialist. This person's a communist. This person's a radical Republican. This person is, the whole thing is that, if you're not with us, you're against us. And you can trace this attitude back a ways. Now, there used to be a time when people would, have political arguments in a very reasonable way. They would disagree, but they would still be friends. And I look back, look back at 1980. Maybe not 1980, but 1984. Roughly about that time. When Ronald Reagan was president. And this was after the first midterm election, and he had lost his Republican majority in the House. And we had a guy who, in charge of the House of Representatives, named Tip O'Neill. Now, Tip O'Neill was one of the most liberal members of Congress. No question of that. He and Ronald Reagan were diametrically opposed on almost every issue. It was they were literally like night and day. They were very, very different people. But despite that, both men had a very deep-seated respect for each other and each other's opinions. There was no name-calling. Ronald wasn't up there saying that Tip O'Neill was a communist or that, trying to pretend that he wasn't born in the U.S. It was a different world. There was a lot more respect on both sides of the aisle. And what has happened, and especially since 2001, incidentally, I'm not doing Today in History today, folks, because we know nothing ever happens on the 11th of September. So I'm not even going to bother. The thing, that was a joke, folks. I'm not doing Today in History because I'm thinking about not doing that anymore. But Bob Adeno wants to know what she would like me to call me. What would you like me to call you? Oh, okay. You could call me a doctor. But that wouldn't make me one. But it seems to me that, things have changed a lot politically in this country since that time, since the time of Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, where you have now this polarization, this violent polarization. Because I think that you have these people who are being led by these sound bites. They're kind of developing their worldviews based on whatever their favored propaganda channel is. And the whole meme right now is that if you're not for us, you're against us. Therefore, anybody who doesn't agree with me is an enemy of this country and needs to be struck down with all possible force. And you're seeing this ratcheting up of the political vitriol. So when Stacey is complaining about the lack of common courtesy that people show now, I look at this and say, have we been conditioned out of showing common courtesy? Isn't this what our society has been leading to for some time, and especially in the last 10 years, have we been conditioned to not want to be courteous to each other? And I think that's a really important question. Now, there is a, we've all heard about the Tea Party movement. I've talked about this on my pre-recorded show, the one that's on hiatus now, about this whole idea of, the Tea Party and kind of how it is a movement based in fear and resentment. And that is, I think, very, very much true. The whole idea of the Tea Party is that, the government is the enemy. And that is, I think, a dangerous situation to get into in a time of economic uncertainty. Because really the only body that has any ability to make changes to make things better is the government. The market hasn't done that. The market has failed us. And that's why we're in this side, the corporate's interests and so forth caused this mess. So they're not going to fix it. They don't want to fix it. It's too good for business. I mean, they're looking at short-term profit over long-term, long-term advantage. And that, it's short-sightedness. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's short-sightedness. Zach is asking, no, nothing ever happens on 9/11 or what happened on 9/11. Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you. I could talk about 9/11, but I've talked that topic to death. And we've had a lot of talk on the other shows on United Kingdom Radio. And I think that I couldn't do a 9/11 show better than Suco. Suco did a fantastic show last week with her husband, who was the first responder on 9/11 in New York City. And Stacey White was involved in that show. And I think that to me, to talk about the topic would just be redundant. I don't see any need for me to talk about it because somebody else has already done it and done it so much better than me. And somebody is saying, could you clarify, Zach? Zach is saying it sounds a bit like Hitler. And I'm saying, could you clarify, Zach, what sounds a bit like Hitler? Because of this delay, I'm not sure what exactly you're responding to. But you can say that, I think I know what you're saying, Zach, though. I think that the whole idea, you have this, economic disinterest. We have uncertainty going on in our society because of the economic conditions. And people are looking for easy answers. Because we have this polarization, anybody who gives them an easy answer, they're going to listen to. But it has to be somebody who actually agrees with them politically because people aren't taking the time to look into political issues. They're not taking time to research things. They're not taking the time to look for causes of things. That's a really important thing. You can say, well, the economy is terrible. Well, you need to ask yourself, why is it terrible? Why is it terrible? Do the research. Ask yourself, why we had the housing bubble collapse. Why was there a housing bubble to begin with? And it just takes a little bit of digging. It doesn't take that much time to realize that, this was built on speculation. It was built on bad business practices. And it has had a profound influence, bad influence on our society. It's just disgraceful. Anyhow, I'm going to go ahead and play the contact jingle. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, please feel free to do so. I do always like hearing from people. And here's the contact.
Jams. Contacting the United Kingdom could not be easier. Oh. You can contact us via the telephone 020-3287-1488. Or if you have Skype, call us on United Kingdom Radio. All one word, United Kingdom Radio. Oh. Remember, your call is important to us.
And yes, your call is very important to us. If you'd like to call, please feel free to do so. The Skype address is United Kingdom Radio. Zach is saying, fair enough, seems like it was a fairly significant event, and we all have our ways of reinterpreting it. Yeah, and of course, anytime you have a big event like 9/11, you're going to have a lot of people who are trying to spin it to their own advantage. And that is, I think, part of this whole polarization that we've had going on in our society. I think that, you know, the social change... Oh, I see. It's a, he's talking about, when he's talking about Hitler, it sounds a bit like Hitler. Hitler is what he said, if you're not with us, then you're against us. I don't know that Hitler ever said that, but I know that that was certainly, that was the George W. Bush line. I don't know whether it, whether, you know, somebody else was known for it before that. Bob I Don't Know says, people are lazy both physically and mentally these days. Why make your own healthy food when you can buy so much food that's prepared for you? Why think for yourself when other people can think for you? Depending on what news station you watch or what paper you read, you will find people who have a similar bent to what you watch. Excuse me. You will find people who have a similar bent to you. So we'll believe everything they say and can argue your case against people who watch or read the opposition. The thing is, Will, they can't. That's the thing. They can spout the same arguments over and over again, but they really can't answer any kind of insightful point. And that's what Lon was talking about, actually. He was talking about how, you know, people can get emotional, even violent, because they feel like you're winning the argument, therefore they have to take it to that next level. I'm sorry, I interrupted what she was saying here. Let me just start from this thing. Depending on what news station you read or what paper you read, you will find people who have a similar bent to you, so will believe everything they say and can argue your case against people who watch or read the opposition. Plus, people are these days very afraid to be an individual. They all prefer to be sheep and not stand out from the crowd. Well, I kind of agree with that, and I kind of don't agree with that, because I think that there are a lot of people out there who prefer not to be sheep. But they, in order to avoid looking like sheep, they sometimes will take an untenable take on things. And you talk about the conspiracy theorists, and I've talked a lot about that on this show and also on my podcast, about conspiracy theorists who they quite determinedly want to make everybody believe that they're not sheep, that they're not just kind of blindly following. What's really ironic about that is that they're kind of blindly following each other. And they're doing exactly the same thing in their own little corner of reality. But and of course, again, you can get around that by doing your own research and actually by listening to, you know, what people who actually know what they're talking about say. One of the problems with a lot of this analysis is that it's being done by people who have no knowledge of a situation. And one of the things that you know, I talk about a lot is critical thinking. And that's certainly true in this case. I think critical thinking is vital. And you have to really be able... Oh, we have a call coming in. Hello on Skype?
Chat.
Who is this?
Lee Mills.
I think it's not Lee Mills. Hello, Mikey. How are you?
No, it's Lee Mills, remember? Yeah.
Okay, it's Lee Mills. Hello, Lee. How are things in Norwich?
Say that again.
How are things in Norwich?
It's crap.
Okay. The sound is terrible where you are. Where are you?
Norwich.
You're in Norwich. It sounds like you're on the street corner in Norwich.
I'm John Lewis in Norwich.
Okay. So what's going on with you today, Mikey?
Chat.
All right. Well, that's about enough of that. Thanks, Mikey, for calling.
Lee.
Oh, Lee. Wait. Sorry, Lee. Thanks for calling, and I hope you'll call again sometime soon. Chat!
What do you chatting about tonight?
We're talking about intellectual laziness, political polarization, and other such topics.
Oh, that's crap!
All right. Goodbye for now. All right. So that was their not Lee Mills. That sounded terrible, didn't it? It was really horrible. All right. Zach was saying, no, he never said that. But in a way it was, talking about Hitler again. Sorry about that. No, Hitler never said that, but that was in a way that he did. Like, if you're not pure German with the physical traits, then you're against my worldview. Yeah, I suppose. I suppose you could say that. But, you know, the Nazis had a very specific idea of what, you know what an Aryan was, and you know who the master race was. I don't think you're seeing that. You know, when people do throw around this idea, you know, well, this sounds like Nazis. You know, you're a Nazi, you're a communist. You know, but when you really look at it, you're not really seeing any of this. You're really not seeing that. It really in our society, but that's the political rhetoric, and I was talking about that before. You have this ratcheting up of, you know, the motions. Bob Idino says, research, why should I waste my time doing that when you can tell me what to think? See, that's one thing that I always say, you know, don't believe a word I say. You shouldn't believe a word I say. Don't take anything I say for granted. I think you should go and do the research yourself. Somebody is trying to call again. I went ahead and I missed it. Oh, well, I was too busy yakking and I missed the call. So if the person wants to call back, they can feel free to call back in. But it is interesting to think about. And I think that, you know, what do you do about it? Now, one of the things about this having this conversation is that this conversation is for academic interest, really, because what can we do about it? I think to some extent, there's not a lot we can do about it other than to try to be a voice of reason. We're not going to be able to change human nature. We're not going to be able, as just a few people, to change this paradigm, which has kind of found its way into our society, this polarization. Because basically what happens is, you have people who are way over on one side of an issue and people who are way over on the other side of the issue. And the truth is somewhere in between. That's usually the way it works. But if you say the truth is somewhere in between, you get attacked from both sides. And that is sort of where we are politically in the United States. I don't know if it's the same way over in Britain or in Australia, but that's certainly the way it is here. So if you do kind of take that more central view, a more balanced view, you just get a lot of grief from both sides of the political spectrum. And there's a podcaster who I listen to, a guy named Dan Carlin, who's one of these people who a lot of people kind of have to vent at from both the left and the right. And I think that he's got some very good points. I don't agree with him all the time. I know that my good friend Scott, who has called the show before, Scott is a big fan of Dan Carlin. And I like his show too. But, and you can hear, I think it's dancarlin.com. Just if you go, he does two shows, two podcasts. But it's more of a commercial podcast. It's not like I know I'm not supposed to plug other shows on this show. Speaking of which, I forgot last week, got into my topic so much last week that I actually forgot to play Trails. I know that's not required that we play Trails, but I do like to plug the other shows here on United Kingdom Radio. I listen to every single show here on United Kingdom Radio. I don't always listen live, but I do listen to all of them. And there's some good stuff coming out, folks. You know, we have people who are new and have fresh ideas. And what's interesting is I'm watching these new hosts, you know, people like, you know, Stacy and Suko and Sean and, you know, these people are getting better and better as they go. You know, their shows just keep getting more and more interesting, and they're getting bolder and bolder with, you know, they're not as tentative and things. So I really think that I think you'd be well served, any listeners out there, would be well served to tune into everyone else's show and hear what they have to say, because I think that some of the stuff they're saying is really, really interesting. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and play a couple of Trails here, and we're going to come back for Chris Reardon Has Decreed.
The Mouth of the Time on United Kingdom Radio.
Tell me about the best moments, Lee, in your life.
Well, of course, it's being a part of United Kingdom Radio, isn't it?
Have you passed any recent exams?
Oh, yeah. I now know how to test equipment.
Isn't that one of them one-day courses you go on, though?
Yeah, well, it was an exam. I passed it. I thought it was just, you go up to the object, you pat it, and that's it.
Yep, that works. Pat on the top of the kettle or pat on the microwave and go, yep, that works. That's fine. I was watching The Real Hustle, and there was one scam that they had to do, and it was to replace the chassis number inside the car.
Oh, yeah, with a sticker.
Yes, did you see that one? Did you see what happened?
Yeah. That was very good.
Scandalous, wasn't it? But it can happen, though.
They conned both ends, didn't they?
They did, yeah. They conned the woman who was selling it and the buyers.
Yeah.
What do you look for in a relationship, Lee? What sort of brought you to her?
Well, her feet, really.
I thought you were going to say something sarcastic like that. I knew it. I absolutely knew it. I'm going to ask you the best moments in your life, but I already know one of them, and that would have to be your daughter, Jade.
The day we got our daughter.
Yeah, that must have been a fantastic day for you.
For those who don't know, my daughter is adopted from China.
How did you research adopting a Chinese baby? Was there much research into it? Or?
You know, it was a new thing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly new. When we were in China, we went there in 95. For vacation, because we went to Japan to visit my family, and then decided, well, we're so close, why don't we go to China? So we did that.
Mm-hmm.
We were in China, and the children are just so beautiful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one child policy, so you don't see too many girls.
Mm-hmm.
They want the boys because they have no social security system. This is all changing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is back in 1995. And Jade knows this. We visited the site where she was left at 3 days old. She was left outside a government office. And everything we did had to be notarized,
mm-hmm.
and then authenticated on the state level, on the county level, and then on the state level, too.
The Mouth of the Time on United Kingdom Radio.
On Sunday, at 3 until 5, is the Atticus Stout Show. It is a journey into a world of mystery, intrigue, the occult, and anything that is a bit on the fringe. There will also be the weekly challenge, in which listeners have a chance to perform a series of humiliating tasks. It promises to be a cornucopia of listening pleasure.
And you can tune in tomorrow to hear Atticus and his cornucopia of listening pleasure. And now it is time for our new feature, Chris Reardon Has Decreed. Live from the Whiskey Glass Studios, it's...
Chris Reardon!
I love it!
And this week's Chris Reardon Has Decreed is as follows.
You should work out the times when this program is on and always have a cup of tea, a little fairy cake.
And that's what Chris Reardon Has Decreed for this week. Tune in next week when Chris might say something like this.
You were floating around as part of someone's fluids. You really were.
And that's all for Chris Reardon Has Decreed for this week. So if anybody would like to give us a call in and talk about our topics today, please feel free to do so. We'd love to hear from you. And going on, I'm going to talk a little bit about this a little more. This whole idea of being sort of manipulated into the sort of polarized society. And we've been talking about that all show pretty much. What does that mean? How do you get out of that? That's what really I'm kind of afraid of, because this is what's the hard part. Once you've done this, now, I think that you can say that in a lot of these cases, this political polarization that's going on is being done by people who hope to gain something in the short term from it. They want short-term political gain by scoring cheap points against the opposition. And when they do that, it levels, you know, ratchets up the level of aggression in the political discourse. What happens when you can't ratchet anymore? This is what I'm kind of concerned about, because really what it's going to culminate in are real acts of violence. And I think that that's the only way. It's like a tea kettle. And you're building up pressure inside this tea kettle. You know, the only way to release this pressure is to turn down the heat. But that doesn't seem to be happening. Now, I've talked about the Tea Party a little bit. I sort of got started talking about that a little bit earlier, and I got to cut off it right away. You know, and one of the things that they're all about is ratcheting up the heat. It's a very public display of anger. And there's very few people who are kind of the voice of reason here. And of course, there are other political organizations that question the way things are without getting all, you know, nasty about it. One of which is the Coffee Party. I've talked about them on my pre-recorded show. I've talked about the Coffee Party a little bit. And the Coffee Party is a group that I believe in what they're saying. I like what they say. I like the points that they make. But you know, their point is that government is not our enemy. It's not the solution to all of our problems, but it's not our enemy. And that, you know, taxes are not the enemy. Because if you don't have people paying taxes, you can't afford to pay for the services that they demand. And that's one of the disconnects here in American society is you have large numbers of people who, you know, they hate to pay taxes. They're against taxes. Any tax, anytime, they're against it. But at the same time, they demand a lot of services from their local, state, and federal governments. And how do you pay for these services? Well, you know, these people want something for nothing. They don't want but they'll say things like, well, I don't want any of my money going to poor people. And, you know, they fail to recognize the fact that, you know, we have the way our system is set up, you know, the government is paid for through the taxes of the populace. And if you take away all of the income, then the government has to not do the things that they demand. So on one hand, you have people screaming that they want to shrink the size of the federal government. They don't want all these intrusive programs and things in their lives, but at the same time, they demand these programs. So it is sort of this disconnect here, and it's a political disconnect that's been going on since the 80s, I think. You can really kind of, you know, when you think about the polarization, you can take this back a long way. You can take it back to the 50s, back during the Cold War. And, you know, back then we had a common enemy that was a very well-defined common enemy. Maybe not well-defined, but at least it was well delineated in the public's mind. And that the enemy was communism. And in particular, the Soviet Union. And you had, you know, a lot of energy being poured into, quote-unquote, defeating communism. And it caused us to do a lot of really stupid things. It also caused us to do some really extraordinary things, like our space program. So it can't be said that all of that was, you know, bad all the time. You know, there are advantages, of course, to competition. Certainly in the free market, competition in the free market is a good thing because it actually helps us to have better products. You know, if you have, you know, Coke and Pepsi competing against each other, they're going to try their best to gain market share by creating the best product they can. And I happen to be of one mind on the Coke Pepsi debate. I'm a Coke person, obviously. Who wouldn't be? but competition can be a good thing. But competition isn't always a good thing, if you know what I'm saying. And, you know, being against something isn't always a bad thing, but being against everything isn't ever a good thing. And it's really kind of interesting to think about because, the trends in our society right now, when you have a mixture of this sort of volatility and this touchiness, and what Alon was talking about, you question somebody's beliefs and they go off on you almost immediately because they can't stand to have their ideas challenged. That's because they haven't thought their ideas out. Somebody who comes to a political opinion based on research, based on facts, that they can defend intellectually, that they can actually have an intelligent debate about, they're not going to get upset at you for challenging their beliefs. They might go ahead and make another point. They might, you know, make their point against your argument. And you can have this nice little debate. That's what I like to see. I love to see disagreements resolved in that way. You can have a nice, cordial debate about policy without attacking the other person. And this is what the coffee party stands for. I was just talking, I know I seem to have gotten off the track, but I wasn't really getting off the track. That's what the coffee party stands for. Unfortunately, you know, what the coffee party has ultimately turned out to be are people who talk. And it's hard to get that spread around. It's hard to get a lot of press. It's hard to get a lot of attention from a movement whose reason for being is to have reasonable conversation. That's not a sexy idea for the media. That's not an idea that is going to get headlines. Who has ever gotten, you know, a headline in a local paper for being nice? You know, it's really kind of, you know, a matter of we need to get more people on board with the idea of resolving our political problems in a reasonable way. You look at this Quran burning thing that's going on here in the States. I don't know how much of this you have over in Australia, Zach, or over in the UK. But we had this pastor here in America, in Florida, who is a Pentecostal minister down in Florida, a very, very small church. And that's always the way it works. Keep in mind, this is a guy who, you know, his entire congregation is like 30 people. And he's made international headlines because he announced this plan to burn Qurans on September the 11th. Now, they've canceled that. They've canceled that event. As far as I know, they've canceled that. That's not going to happen. But, you know, this guy who's nobody down in you know, little podunk town in Florida has made the international news by this very deliberately provocative act. I don't think he's interested in making peace with Muslims. Otherwise, he would never have proposed this. He's trying to ratchet it up another notch. And that's a bad idea as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I don't think that the Quran is anything holy. I don't think the Bible's anything holy. You know, I don't care if you get rid of all of them. But the whole idea is that a lot of people do take these holy books very, very seriously. And when you go around burning other people's holy books, you're not going to make people like you. The people who already agree with you may not think it's bad. You know, some of them would actually probably think it's good. But you're not going to get much. You're not going to get much done in trying to engage with your opposition this way. You're just going to make it more likely that a violent conflict is going to happen. Bob Idano says, I have a friend in America who is now retired, and both himself and his wife suffer from serious illnesses. He puts off going to the hospital as it costs him money via his insurance, and yet hates the idea of a national health care system. That's the disconnect. That's what I'm talking about. He also wants to complain if services are not kept up, and yet he does not want his taxes to go to the poor people who work in the shops or take away his rubbish so that they and their families can get free health care. Yeah, Bob, you've hit the nail right on the head, right squarely on the head. Pow. That is exactly what I'm talking about. The whole idea of socialized medicine is somehow evil, but people are going bankrupt every day because they get sick. And I think that's evil. She goes on to say, yeah, the Quran burning thing is just a publicity stunt for him. I think, yeah, I tend to agree with you. You know, he is trying to gain some sort of a popularity nationally or something. I don't know. I mean, he's no Martin Luther King Jr., that's for sure. He's not bringing people together by doing this stunt. And the only people who are going to agree with the stunt like this are very right-wing, you know, anti-Muslim, pro-Christian people. He's not going to get anyone else on his side. But, those people are already on his side. So what can his position be? He wants publicity. It's the only thing you can really say. And there's a lot of these people out there, these tiny little churches, these, you know, very small people who, you know, that's the only way that they can get attention is by drawing attention to themselves. This guy got a free trip to New York out of it. And, you know, he's thinking, you know, me, this little guy, the church of 30 people is going to somehow be able to change this Muslim community center from being built in New York City. No, if Donald Trump can't do it, then this guy's not going to be able to do it. And Donald Trump wasn't trying to, you know, burn a Quran. He's just offering them lots of money for the building. So they would have to go build somewhere else. You know, and that's, I think that was a publicity stunt for Trump, to be honest. But that is the way it works. You know, that is how it goes. And what else can you say about that? You know, and I suppose that really I need to start winding it up a little bit because there's only 5 minutes left to the show. But, you know, of course, I spend a lot of time thinking about, well, how do we fix this problem? How do we do something about this problem? I think the coffee party has the right idea. But they're not very good at getting that message out. It's not going out over the national airwaves because it's not a sexy news story. The news industry in this country thrives on conflict. And people like the coffee party, as well-intentioned as they are, they're not about conflict. Therefore, they're not interesting news. So that's where we are. I mean, you know, you really do have this very backward situation that we need to deal with. And I'm worried that we're not going to be able to deal with it until something horrible happens as a result of it. And people need to start educating themselves and getting activated as far as I can see. And it's hard to do that in this, you know, it's a vicious circle. And I think that, you know, if I were a conspiracy-minded person, which I'm not, you can say that this is what they intended all along. Because they are trying to destroy our society. That's not really true either, folks. Zach says, people do a lot of crazy things to get a bit of media attention, even if it does attract some unwanted controversial attention. I don't think the sort of religious action happens in Australia, except the changes in illegal motorcycle gangs attract unwanted violent attention, particularly hurled towards the government that is trying to disband them. I haven't heard about this story, Zach. Maybe you can tell us about this. Email me. The email address is tom@unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. Let me know about this. Maybe we'll talk about this next week. I have a call coming in here. Hello on Skype. Hello?
Tell us this, Tom. Why is it so hard to find some toilets?
Why is it so hard to what?
Find some toilets.
Tell us this. I don't know. Where are you? Are you in Lincoln?
Nottingham.
You're Nottingham. Oh, right. Okay. This is Mikey Holt in Nottingham.
And I really, really... it's too loud. Buses and all that. And I really need to take a dump.
Okay.
So I need to find a toilet.
Well, good luck. Are you in a mall?
Huh?
Are you in a mall?
No.
So where are you?
Nottingham City Centre.
Are you?
Just passing those idiots at PC World. That is the opinion of Mikey Holt.
Go to the PC World idiots and say, "Where's your restroom?"
Should I do that?
Yeah, you should.
Right, you can hear on the lovely show.
And let me know how it turned out next week, okay?
I'm not there.
All right. Good luck with the bathroom. It's getting time for me to wrap things up.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you later, Mikey.
It fails. All right, bye.
Bye. All right. Bob Adeno says, the coffee party sounds like the English Parliament. Put on a show for the public and then buy each other a drink later. I think that's more like the tea party, not really the coffee party. But she goes on to say, I think the preacher vicar, whatever he is in Africa, who's hit the news, has more of a point when he implied that Jesus had AIDS. Oh, that's, I haven't heard that either. Okay, it's a bit extreme, but he was trying to get his point across to use condoms. That doesn't make any sense to me. I haven't heard this news story, so I guess I'm going to have to look into it and try to figure out what that's all about. Anyhow, we are coming up to the end of the show now, folks. I do appreciate everybody who has called. Mikey has called, and to Zach and to Bob, I don't know, who have been contributing to the show. It's always good. You know, it would be nice to have more calls, though, you know, certainly don't, we don't need more calls, but it's always good to hear from people other than Mikey, who I hope has managed to find the toilet in time. Anyhow, it's a beautiful day here in Chicago. It's a bit rainy, and it's nice out, except for the rain, and we're expecting the rain to clear up later this afternoon. I'm going to go and get my hair cut after the show today. I know that's all very exciting, but I'm looking forward to it because it's been a while, and my hair is getting really, really shaggy. So anyway, Sean Riches will not be on today. He is taking this weekend off for some reason, but he will be back with a new format and some new games and stuff next week. So be sure to tune in next Saturday. Next Saturday, we have Chris Reardon at 3, me at 4, and Sean Riches at 5 here on United Kingdom Radio. This is Tom in Chicago, Illinois, signing off. We'll see you next week.
I love it!